We have actually been talking about the Holy Spirit for a while now. I mean, we've been probably talking about him for about 6 months in this church, in different sermon series. We've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit and, you know, is the Spirit relevant for today? How to be led by the Spirit? So I'm all hoping that you have a bit of a hunger in your heart for the move of God, a bit of a hunger to walk with the Holy Spirit more, a hunger to hear his voice more. I think what's actually stuck with me the most was what Simon said a couple weeks ago, which is now every day he invites God into his day. And I've been trying to remember to do that because what it's doing is just inviting the Holy Spirit into our everyday lives. So I've got the task tonight of setting a foundation about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because we're going to be talking about it for the next maybe 10 weeks. So you're going to hear a lot about it. So I'm going to just sort of put a bit of an introduction of the Holy Spirit's gifts tonight. So I'm going to start with a scripture that we know well, that Jesus said to his disciples as he was ready to leave the earth and be crucified and leave the earth. In John 14, verse 16, if Gordon can get that up, yeah. He said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor." And if you read that in the Amplified Version, it says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby, to be with you forever." And I thought that was such a great scripture to start off with. And if you have the question tonight, is the Holy Spirit relevant for today? I encourage you to listen to the previous sermon series. I'm not going to go into that tonight, because we have established that he is with us today and he's relevant for our generation and for our time. But you ask the question, and this is asked in every church, and this is how denominations are formed and how people have different views. But the big question is, are the gifts of the Spirit for us today? Or were they just for the book of Acts? And that's something I'm going to try and tackle a little bit tonight. And I'm going to start off with a famous story of a fisherman. You'll know exactly who I'm talking about when I tell you a little bit about him. He didn't seem to be a very successful fisherman, because whenever the Bible talks about him, he never seemed to be catching fish. His net always seemed empty. And one day he was fishing and he saw a rabbi on the shore. And this rabbi said two words that would change his life forever. He said, "Follow me." And this fisherman left everything and followed this rabbi. Now, what's quite interesting about this man is that there's no indication that he had any great abilities. He was not educated that we know of. We don't know if he was very skilled. There's no indication that he came from a rich family. And actually, when you look at his life, through Jesus' life, through the Bible, we actually find that this man always seemed to say the wrong thing at the wrong time. He always seemed to put his foot in it. He even cut off someone's ear in the Bible at one point. When Jesus asked him to pray, he fell asleep. He denied Jesus three times, and when his Savior was crucified, he ran as a coward. Now that sounds a bit harsh, but something happened in this man's life that absolutely changed him. He became a different man. And I'm going to pick up the story from Acts 2. How can I not read about Pentecost when it is Pentecost? Happy Pentecost. It's a bit of a long scripture, but it's so, so important to set the foundation for the gifts of the Spirit. So Acts 2 verse 1, it says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd. 'Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken of the prophet Joel. He said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If we jump down to verse 36, it says, Peter's still talking to the crowd. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added in number that day. You see, obviously the fisherman I was talking about was obviously Peter. And he was someone that seemed very simple. A simple dude that didn't seem to have a huge amount of significance. But now, he was a man who stood up with huge confidence, who was no longer a coward, and he had the ability to hold a crowd and speak about Jesus and cause conviction. Not only this, but if you read the account of Acts, he was someone who would walk into a city and the whole city would be shaken up because of his message. He was a man who would walk in the streets and his shadow would heal people. He would pray for handkerchiefs and they would be laid on people and they would be healed. You see, what was the difference? What changed this man from being a sort of nobody into someone that God used? It was the Holy Spirit and his gifts. God took a natural man and made him supernatural. And who got the glory? It was Jesus. And you're like, well, that's great. That was 2,000 years ago. That was in the book of Acts. That doesn't happen today. I want to tell you another story about a man you all know very well. Born in 1918 in North Carolina. He was one of four children, and he was born on a dairy farm. They say there was nothing special about this man. He grew up as a normal boy, interested in things like girls. And he was actually so rebellious at one point that he wasn't allowed to go to the youth group. And when he was 16 years old, he responded to the call that Peter responded to, which was, follow me. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, this man's name was Billy Graham. And it's said that Billy Graham preached to live audiences of over 210 million people in 185 different countries. He preached in countries like Russia and China, which had never been preached live before. And through his ministry, 3.2 million people made commitments to Christ. He was a normal man like you and I. He was raised on a farm as a farm boy. And you see, again, the Holy Spirit took someone who was natural and turned him into someone who was supernatural. And who got the glory? It wasn't Billy Graham. It was Jesus. What about someone like Evan Roberts? Evan Roberts was a Welsh boy, and he loved to pray. And God told him to go and preach in little churches all over Wales. And he did. He answered the call of follow me. And God used him to start a huge revival in Wales that spread all the way to the top of Wales. And who got the glory for it? Evan Roberts? No. Jesus got the glory. What about someone like Mother Teresa, who was able to leave everything in her life, everything, relationships, material goods, a comfortable life, and go and live with the slums in India? No one can just do that in their own ability, and yet she did. And who got the glory? Jesus. You see, the Holy Spirit takes someone who is natural and willing to serve him and turns them into someone who is supernatural, not for their own glory, but for Jesus's glory. But you're like, wait, I'm not going to go and preach to big crowds and stadiums or walk into a city and shake it up. I don't know what God's plan is for your life, but I can tell you that we are not actually adequate to fulfill those plans in our own natural abilities. What we need in our lives is what Peter had when he stood up in front of a large crowd and shouted, "Jesus, whom you crucified, I preach to you." Or Billy Graham, who stood up in a huge stadium and said, "Follow Christ, come to Christ." We need supernatural ability in our lives. We can't just come in our own strength and think that we can meet the needs of those around us. There are positions in our lives sometimes when we are clearly in over our heads, when we are outmatched and there are people around us who are more skilled and more talented, more educated, and we need what Peter had, which was the ability to walk into a scenario in full confidence and boldness that if God has sent me, he will equip me for the task at hand. If you are here tonight and you are in over your head, in your jobs, with your exams, with your family situations, with your marriage, with your finances, I'm here to tell you that the Holy Spirit can give you what was available for Peter, for Billy Graham, for Evan Roberts. It's available for you tonight. He gives us competence and ability that comes supernaturally from the Father so that we can handle the task at hand. What I can say tonight is that we will be faced with a choice. We might choose to shrink away from what God has called us to do because we feel that we are not competent, that there are people around us who are better skilled, better educated, better equipped, who would be better to fulfill the task that God is giving you to do. But the example of Peter shows us that the glory of God is best seen through our lives when we step confidently into scenarios where we know up front that we don't have enough, but we are trusting fully in our God. I'm going to say that again. So the example of Peter shows us that the glory of God is best seen through our lives when we step confidently into scenarios where we know up front that we don't have enough, but we are trusting fully in our God to equip us for the task at hand. If we only ever do what we in our natural abilities are capable of, how does that display God's glory? It just displays ours because we're talented, we're great, we can do that. But God's glory is displayed when we are in positions that are beyond us and we get to watch the Holy Spirit step in and take over. So are the gifts for today? Yes. Why? Because we need him. Because we are not capable ourselves to save people. We're not capable ourselves to do anything like miracles. We need him. And if you're still unsure, I'm going to look at Acts 2 verse 17 again. Just verse 17, that's obviously the prophet Joel speaking. And it says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people." And we are still in the last days because we will be in the last days until Jesus comes back. Every generation will be in the last days because Jesus hasn't come back yet. And he said that he would pour his spirit on all people, not just the disciples. If you look at verse 39, it says, the promise of the Holy Spirit is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call, not just for some, but for all that God calls. You see, he wants to work through us in a supernatural way to touch this broken, dying, corrupt, sinful world. And to do this, we need more than just a leaflet or a fish on our car or a 10-point sermon series or church vision. We need more than that. We need his gifts, his abilities, and his power. You see, the Holy Spirit's gifts are there to equip us to reach a world that is hungry for the supernatural. And how do I know that the world is hungry for the supernatural? Because people love magic. They love fantasy. They love superheroes. They love things that they cannot explain. People are hungry for something. However, walking in the gifts of the Spirit takes faith. It takes deep-rooted faith. faith in the confidence that he is with us and that he wants to use us. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Romans 15 verse 13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It does take faith to come to Christ, and that gift is poured out in our hearts when we answer the call to follow Christ. But what about a faith that is deeper than that? A faith that is stable and strong? A faith that stands fast when there are storms in our lives? A faith that believes that God is with us and that he loves us? A faith that believes that the Holy Spirit wants to use us, not to glorify ourselves, but to glorify Jesus? You see, where this message came out of was, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, Michael and I were in South Wales, and I went to a little Baptist church in South Wales, a lovely church, lovely people. And during the service, someone got up and said, I have a word from God for someone here. And the word was, stop doubting. And I knew straight away that God was speaking to me. I knew straight away because for months I have been in a bit of a mist of doubt. Doubt that God can use me. Doubt that he's got a plan for me. Doubt that I will ever fulfill the task that he has at hand for me. Doubt that I will serve him my whole life. And he was telling me, stop doubting. And I wonder if you tonight are in a bit of I call it a doubt mist, because you can't see. Everything's confusing. Everything just seems so big. And the moment you walk out of the mist, it's clear. I wonder how many of you are in that. You see, even the disciples, I think, had a bit of a doubt moment, because they even said to Jesus, increase our faith. Now, faith is a gift given to us by the Holy Spirit. And how I know that is 2 Corinthians, which you're going to hear a lot of, for the next few weeks. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8 says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. You see, faith, we need faith to believe that we are children of God, but we actually need a deeper faith to be able to use the gifts of the Spirit. And I'm going to illustrate what I mean by faith. I actually have a friend in South Africa, and her name is Faith. I'm not even joking. Like, only in South Africa can you get away with names like faith, goodness, happiness, joy. People have names like that, and it's great. And I have no doubt in my life that this girl, this friend of mine, has the gift of faith. Because when she prays for you, she prays with the hope that the Holy Spirit's going to use her to touch your life. And every time she's going through a difficult situation, her response is always, but God. So I never go, when I want to moan to someone, I never go to her, because she'll be like, Heather, but God. And I'm like, no, I want to moan. But you know, she to me is someone who is full of faith. I've never spoken to her and she's like, oh, my life is so bad. She's so full of faith that God is using her, that God is equipping her, that God is still in her life regardless of her situations, and she's my role model for faith. Even Martin Luther King said this statement about faith. He said, faith is the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase. This country is so full of doubt at the moment. Doubt in God's move, doubt in our economy, doubt in our health system, doubt in our politics. We are not sure what the future holds for this country. But I am here to tell you, but God. God is calling you and this church to a higher level of faith, and we need it now more than ever. And I implore you to ask the Holy Spirit for the gift of faith to believe that no matter what happens in this country, that God is good and that he has a plan for your life in this country. You see, we need to believe in his word, believe in his promises, and believe in his character. Only then can we face the future of Britain with our heads held high and the confidence that we can do nothing, but that God can do anything, and nothing is too impossible for him. The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The time is coming where Jesus is saying, follow me. Not come to church once a week and occasionally read your Bible, but surrender our agendas, our opinions, our lifestyles, and let him use us to touch this broken world. And will you answer the call tonight for God to use you and become available for him to touch this world? And how I know God will is, since doing this message, this has never happened to me in Britain before in my workplace, but a lady said to me out of the blue, oh, I've heard one of my friends said she went to church and got prayed for and got healed. Can you pray for me? I was like, yes. You know, I don't believe I actually had the full gifts of faith because I didn't step up straight away and be like, yes, let's pray. I was like, are you sure? Are you sure you want me to pray? You know, and so God will open doors for you like that. And I couldn't do anything. There's no way I could heal her. It was completely the Holy Spirit. So I prayed for her. Don't know what's happened, but it's not me anyway. What I'm going to do tonight is, our foundation for the gifts of the Spirit is faith. You have to get to a point where you believe that God wants to move, that God wants to touch the hearts of those around you, that God wants to use you. This is not a show. The gifts of the Spirit are not there to create a church that's got a show on. It's to touch a world that is hungry, a world that is so desperate for something. And it's clear to see that the churches don't give the world what they want, because else our churches would be filled. We have to get to a point where we're like, yes, Lord, I'm waiting for you to use me. Yes, Lord, I'm waiting to step out in faith. Yes, Lord, I'm willing to answer the call to follow you. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to invite the band up, and Simon's going to play for a little bit. And I really am going to ask you to reevaluate where you stand with your faith walk and how much you believe that God wants to use you. And I'm going to pray, and I'm going to really ask you to, you know, if I could ask for any gift of the Holy Spirit, I'd ask for faith. I'd ask for faith above everything. Why? Because faith stands strong in storms. Faith stands strong when your nation's falling apart. Faith stands strong when your marriage is falling apart, where your finances are falling apart, where your careers are falling apart. Faith stands strong. And we can't do it on our own. We have no ability on our own, in our own natural abilities, to say, I'm going to be full of faith now. No. It's something only the Holy Spirit can give. So what's going to happen is, Simon's going to play a bit. I'm going to pray. And he's going to play for a bit to give you time to respond in your heart to God, to ask him for faith. I need faith. I don't have the gift of faith, but I want the gift of faith. I want it in my heart. So you start playing, and I'm going to pray. So Lord, we just come to you right now as humans who are simple, humans who are natural, humans that can do nothing without you in our lives. We can't save people. We can't heal people. All we can do is ask you to use us. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you would use this church. I pray that you would use us in our workplaces, when we go to schools, when we write exams, in our marriages, in our family relationships. Holy Spirit, only you can do it. And we ask that we would become a church that is obedient to your call, and that we become a church that is available and surrendered to your move. So Holy Spirit, I pray for the gift of faith in this church tonight. I pray that we would be people who stand strong in trials, people who have confidence in your ability, not in our own abilities, but in your abilities. And I pray that through all of this, none of us would get any glory, but that you would get all the glory, because you deserve all the glory. Use us. We make ourselves available to be used. I pray that the next 10 weeks where we speak about your gifts will stir a hunger and a passion in our hearts for your move in our lives, in our families, in our nation. Lord, don't let this church pass by without revival, Lord. Bring revival in our lives and in our nation, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.